Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, welcome to your Q&A ahead of Game Week 28 with myself Az, and she's back from her holiday. She's glammed up from being on the FPL show earlier and on the FPL pods twice this week. You've been everywhere.
Az, I feel like when you go on holiday, suddenly everyone's like, can you come on? And you're like, no, I can't for 2 weeks because I'm away. And they're like, oh, all right then, do you want to come on the week you get back? Oh yeah, okay, great. Suddenly I'm on everything, and it happens when I've had an absolutely shocking game week.
I mean, I didn't want to say anything, but...
Shocker.
I'm catching you up. I was like 120 points behind you. I'm like 60 now. I'm feeling like I'm gonna make it.
You've got a red arrow, and I've got a red arrow, and you're still catching me. That's how bad my red arrow was.
Two red arrows, and I got 30 points on you this week. Nearly 30 points.
Because I got 49. Who gets 49 in that kind of week?
49. Oof, no Foden. But you know what we both can share in, though?
What?
Emi Martinez. Oh. What are our goalkeepers?
Why? Why do we do it?
Areola for you, 13. Kelleher for me, 9 on the bench. We both play Martinez. Oh, dear.
So raging. Honestly, when that Aston Villa clean sheet went, I was raging. So at one point, I'll tell you a story. So on Saturday, we were flying home Saturday. We left Florida Saturday evening, early evening, and got back on Sunday. And we decided that just before we went to the airport, we'd go to the Florida Mall. We're like, we'll go shopping. So we were in the shops, and my watch keeps telling me about the scores. So it pings me and it tells me the Spurs are 1-0 down. So at that point, I'm like, oh, raging. It's ruined my mood. I'm in a bad mood. Van de Ven I've bought in. His clean sheet's gone. Right, rah, 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 rah. Then I look at my FPL team and I'm like, what is this? What is this? Spurs are losing. This is a nightmare. Anyway, thank goodness, by the time we got on the plane, I was actually in a shop paying for something when the... Romero goal went in. So part of me is like, yes, Spurs have scored. And then I look at who it is and I'm like, you're joking. Because I spent about 25, a disproportionate amount of time I spent deciding between Romero and Van de Ven. And of course,
the other one.
That doesn't score. So I was like, you are joking me that he's like, I'm delighted because at least Spurs are winning now, but I'm also fuming. I also wanted to bring in some but couldn't do it. So then when he scored, I was like, this is just killing me. Then Darwin scores in the 99th minute. So I've got a very excitable husband who's like, yes. And I'm like, no, that's really annoying me because everyone else around me has got him. Then we get home and I'm really jet lagged and really tired and I'm watching the City game while Ake loses his clean sheet, whilst De Bruyne does absolutely nothing and Foden is going on a riot. And I was just like, this whole game week is in the mud.
It's funny because did you hear, you know, Yellen and I went away and she went for Bernardo over Foden. And then we watched Foden score a hat-trick in that match and it, you know, and it's funny that you've gone on holiday with Lee and almost exactly the same thing's happened. Foden's got a big haul and you haven't got him.
And it bothered me so much because when...
I just saw this mention in the chat. I was about to block him or at least put him in a timeout. It's your bloody husband. I've had to hear this sob story many times this week. I was like, oh, that's so mean. I'm not going to allow that. Straight in the block. No, it's Lee.
Lee! He's upstairs. I'm going to go, okay, he's going to be in big trouble when I see him later. We're going on a date night later. I'm not going to speak to him across the table.
Oh, very nice.
I'm going to tell him my sob story over and over again, just on repeat. Over dinner.
Yeah. Just record it and then just play a button and it just keep playing.
Whenever he says something that upsets me, I'm just to hit play on this sob story and you'll have to hear it. He was there. He didn't need to hear it. He's lived it. He lived it with me.
Amazing stuff. Hello to everyone.
but not
thanks
Lee.
For joining us back. Yeah, it's definitely not Lee or... the weird people that keep talking about milking that I'm having to ban. What? Have you seen those? Where's our moderators? Let's make Lee a moderator and then he can deal with this.
Hang on. He's supposed to be working, I think. What's he doing of?
There you go. Lee can sort out the person who's talking about milking. That's gonna be very weird in the audio version of this. Don't worry about it. It's not that important. Hi to everyone. We are back here to give you some hopefully decent advice. I know it's been ages. It was. Do you know what? I was up with Joe last week. We had a nice time.
It's lovely with Joe, but it's, you know,
there's something special about our Fridays at four.
It's a lot of love in Fridays at four when it's us.
Yes, and a lot of panic in the chat as well, which is always nice. Yeah. Get your questions in, get your super chats in. We'll make sure we can answer them as well. Always ask questions, and I'll just pick some kind of at random. Let's go straight away to. I just saw one about Solanke. Yeah, I mean Solanke, right? So Tim WD, Solanke will play, but likely to have his minutes. Manage, get Carter says, is Solanke really needed? Have you got Solanke?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Cap's still, I mean, CG bought, am I crazy not to bring Solanke in? What do you think on Solanke? The news has been a bit less optimistic than we were hopeful for, right?
Yeah, I was reading, before we came on here, I was reading about what he'd said in the press conference, and I didn't take it as badly as I think some people have done. I think a lot of people kind of were like, oh gosh, well, that's, you know, but in reality, he's had limited training, but he'd had limited training the week before as well, and he still started and he still played the game, like all of it. So I don't think it worries me too much. Like, I think he'll still play in both games and he'll still get most of, if not all of, the minutes in those two games, I would expect. I'm going to captain him. I think it would tamper my enthusiasm for the triple captain a little bit, that news today. But I think with those two fixtures in mind, even if he was to, worst case scenario, get 60 minutes in both of those two games, you'd expect Solanke to return against both Sheffield United and Luton in 60 minutes, wouldn't you?
It can't be an incredibly serious injury, can it?
No,
or he wouldn't have played and started against Burnley.
No, and he was talking about how it's not particularly painful, it's just there, he can feel it. So it's obviously not causing him that much problems, otherwise, as you say, he wouldn't have played in game week 27.
Yeah, I think, like you say, even if he gets, I mean, he starts both games unless he gets gets a knock or something in the first game, and I think 120 minutes of Solanke still makes him the best captain option this week, because you could go for Saka. Well, he's carrying a little injury or a sickness or something around, so yeah, I don't know. He hasn't trained. That's what a few people are saying.
Limited. He's had limited training. It's not that he hasn't trained.
Yeah.
It's limited training.
But the reason for that is because Areola wants him for the two games.
Yeah, exactly.
So in some ways, it's good that he hasn't been training, because he's having those that managed so that he can play in the two games. Captaincy, definitely. Would I triple captain him? I think this would put me off the triple captain.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think there's going to be another opportunity coming with another double game week, and it might not be as good on paper as this one, but it's just enough to make me think not to go for it.
I'm with you.
That's your answer to that. We have a super chat from JDev. Thank you very much. Already done a -4 for Son and Bowen. Only own one double game week player in Solanke. Should I take another -4 for Haaland to Morris, popular transfer this week? No free hit in 29, as already have 10 players in place.
Well, so the thing, there's two things to say about this, isn't it? That one, if you've already got 10 players, this would give you a full 11, presumably, unless you'd have to bench one of your attacking assets. Unless it's team structurally that you've only got two defenders. But this would give you 11, so that puts you at an advantage anyway. So that -4 really is like -2 each week. And given that this week Morris has a double, as long as you could get Haaland back in without too much issue following it, like you don't spend the money on something else, then I think I probably would do this to give me a full 11 for the week after and to have another doubler for this week.
If I wasn't free hitting in 29, which I almost certainly am, I would do Haaland to Morris.
No, I think I would,
because I think it's three games versus one,
and the one is Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly. If you're ever going to do it, I think you do it now. I think do it.
Haaland's never scored at Anfield either, apart from once in the Champions League before he played for Man City, but he's never got a return whilst at Man City at Anfield.
Ah, good stat. I'll tell you who has got a return, maybe not Anfield before I do this, but who does do well against Liverpool is Phil Foden.
No, at Anfield as well. Two goals and one assist in the last three.
Oh, there Anfield. You go.
I've got all the stats for you this
Someone's
week.
Been doing her Somebody's... FPL appearances this week.
My FPL knowledge this week is through the roof. So if I don't get a green arrow, I might as well quit.
Yeah. Do we have any news on, I never thought I'd be asking this, Kelly? Lloyd Kelly? Is it Lloyd? Is that his first name?
It is Lloyd, yeah.
Lloyd. Is he all right?
Do we have any news on Lloyd Kelly? Yeah, we do. Lloyd Kelly, Max Ahrens, James Hill and Ryan Fredericks all remain sidelined for the Cherries.
Okay, so...
But Tyler Adams could be back.
Okay, so Kerkez is probably going to be my move then this week, which
I think I'm going to do Zaburni.
Sorry, who?
Zaburni.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so. That's what I was told this morning.
Ah, oh, damn it. Do you know what? I was going to mock you, but then you've got the insides.
That's what I was told this morning.
I thought you emphasised the barn. Zaburni.
Zaburni, maybe. Zaburni. Can't remember. Whatever. Yeah. Either way, I think I'm going to go with him because I want the longevity of the Bournemouth defence.
Yeah. Are you not going to wildcard straight after 29 then?
No, I think... So my strategy has completely changed. Like, I was planning to play through game week 29 and just have, like, 10 players with a minus 8. Whereas now I think, actually... I really like my team for 30-31, so particularly with the transfers that I'm planning to make this week. So in my head, I'm like, well, what I could do then is free hit in 29. I can wildcard in 33, set up for 34 that way, and then I'll still keep my bench boost for 37 strategy. I think that's my current plan now. So in that case, I want to have my Bournemouth defender in play now, if that makes sense.
Yep, makes sense. Zubin says, will Adebayo play one game? Doesn't look like it, does it? He's definitely out of their first game.
I don't think he'll play either.
Nah, miraculous recovery if he does, but I think he's probably out. Lewis Benilla says, as a Sam, would you sell Haaland or Watkins? Definitely wouldn't sell Watkins.
Agree.
Yeah, gotta be Haaland. If you're ever going to sell Haaland again this season, it has to be now.
Yeah.
Ahead of the blank, and like you say, against Liverpool. Jason Styling, Solanke in for Watkins. Have Haaland and Morris... We'll be free hitting in 29. Good to see you back, Sam.
Ah, it's good to be back. This one's difficult because
Watkins.
I would not be selling Watkins. I think he could, like, I've said this a lot this week and people look at me like I'm mad, but I genuinely think if you're going to captain a single game week this week, I would go for Watkins against that Spurs defence. We haven't kept a clean sheet since game week 14. He's on absolute form. It's, what is it, 3 double digit holes in 5, I think, for Watkins. Like, the form's insane. I would not be selling him. Again, like, I think this is a good fixture for him at home. But without free hit in 29. See, the thing is, I also think that you're going to want to have Watkins in your team more longer term as well. Like, it's difficult, this.
Well, Solanke comes in 30 with Everton at home. Villa's got Wolves, I think. Wolves at home in 30. Not a huge amount in it there. You'd maybe lean towards Solanke in it. But given the fact Watkins has got, 29 goal involvements over the season... I think given Solanke's slight injury, I think I wouldn't do it. I think I'd keep Watkins.
I mean, you've got Morris as a double game week forward, which is already...
Yeah. You
know, I don't think you can sell Haaland either if you're planning to free hit. I think you have to hold Haaland if you're free hitting.
Yeah, and no wild card as well.
And so no wild card. Yeah.
It's very difficult to say don't get Solanke, because he's going to be like close to 200% effective ownership. He's got two amazing doubles.
I don't think he will, because his ownership isn't actually very... Like, I haven't checked today. Let's see how many went up by overnight. But we did a pod yesterday and he was at like 27% ownership. And obviously that's just ownership. That's not...
He's the most bought player, and he's got going to be given the triple captains by people as well.
Sure, but he's 28% owned. So we don't normally see players get to 200% effective ownership. I don't even think he'll make it to 100%.
I don't think he will. Mate, I mean, he was 55% effective ownership last week against Burnley. And that's with no captaincies and having not been the most bought player because he had the flag. That will double
around your rank
easy.
Overall.
don't use those words. No, around my rank.
That was a serious question. question.
Around my rank, he's 35.
People will be put off buying him if they've not already done it by the comments in the presser today. People will be put off handing him the captain's armband by the comments in the presser today. People will definitely be put off the triple captain by the comments in the presser today. So I don't think his effective ownership is going to be anywhere near. I think he'll still be a good differential captain for us.
You think he could be less than 100%?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't. I think he's going to be minimum 120.
Interesting. We'll find out tomorrow.
We will. How exciting. FPL Lighthouse. What was our final ones with that then? Are we saying no to Watkins this Mankey?
You can't sell Watkins.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm agreeing. FPL Lighthouse, what six players are your must-haves for 29 if you're not free hitting?
Watkins.
Yep.
Tony.
Yep.
Son.
Yep. Bowen.
Yeah.
I think he's got to be Bowen. Right.
Probably put Madison in there as well, to be fair. I'd probably go with the double up of the Spurs attack.
Yeah. Five. One more. Yeah, there's not really anyone that obvious, is this? Maybe another Aston Villa mid.
Maybe Bailey.
Bailey or Douglas Luiz.
Well, it's an away game that's makes me go Bailey over Douglas Luiz. Yeah. We've not got any defenders in there. Pedro Porro's back training.
Yeah, but are they must-haves?
I don't think they're must-haves. No, I think there's five must-haves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't think there's more than that.
It's a tricky week, isn't it? Because I'm looking at my team and thinking I could get out a patched up six maybe for 29 and keep the free hit. Maybe with like a -4 or -8. It means not going hard on this game week with the double Bournemouth defence. It means, you know, having just six players and a hit, and I'm just not sure it's really worth it. But when you think about it, and we can only really name five that we would definitely want, the rest are going to be your Elangas, Regulons, Fleckend in goal. You know, you take a punt on, I don't know, like Morris up top. Like it's, I don't know, it's no one that really stands up. I mean, they could all do well, but there's not like a really clear and obvious pathway.
But equally, I think the ones that, like, there are other options. I wouldn't have said were must-have. So, like, when I was talking about Porro then, like, I wouldn't say he's a must-have, but I think you could have him. Like, I think there's another Spurs attacker that you could have, but I wouldn't say they're must-haves, but he would be a good option. Same with, you know, a Kudos or a Paquetara at West Ham. The same with Bailey or Douglas Luiz at Aston Villa. Like, I think there is enough good choices. They're just not must-haves. So I think if you're looking at must-haves, there's probably five. And then everyone else, like the Doties, the Morrises, they're kind of good options, but not must-haves. I could easily name you 12 that I think are good options. But
would you say,
must-haves.
Can reframe the question then. Would you say six is must-have? Like, would you want to go in with any less than that?
No. Yeah, I wouldn't want any less than six. I think
for
I'd
free? Or would you take hits to get six rather than playing the free hit chip?
I think if you could get... No, that's a good question.
Thank you.
I think if you're going to try and play through, you need eight.
With hits?
Yeah.
So like a -8 to get eight?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you'd have to carefully choose your -8 unless you're planning an immediate wild card straight after.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, worst case scenario, you're free here. Everyone gets twos. You're still going to beat
up. You're still up.
You're still up quite a bit. Like, you're still up 20 points or something.
So this is the conversation we were having on the FPL pod this week. Because, like, Jules is going to have six. He's going to take a -4 to get eight. Or he's got five, sorry. He's got a free transfer and then a -8 that's going to get him eight. So in theory, if I'd used my free hit, I'm already eight up on the game week from him.
Yep.
And I've got three additional players. So worst case scenario here is I'm... 14 up? Because, you know, 8 plus 6. Before we start, I'm 14 up. And then whatever happens with the players. But the players we've got are going to really cover each other because he's going to have the players that I would free hit in anyway. So I'm going to at least gain 14 points on him. And that's where I think the free hit can be really useful.
Yep.
Because it only takes one of those players that not everyone's got to go off and suddenly you're 20, 30 points up.
It's just we don't know how big an impact the free hit's going to have later on in the season. But we know it's going to have a moderate to big impact now. So I can see why people want to gamble and wait and see what they can do with it in 34 and 37. But it could be you've got half the players anyway, or more than half the players that are doubling. The 34 double's rubbish. You've got to use the bench boost chip as well. You could end up getting that the wrong way around. There's a lot of unknowns.
I agree. And I think, you know, we don't yet know what 34 is going to look like. Yeah, there might be some blanks, but also... Because there's no European football that week, the FA Cup games that get rescheduled could effectively go into the midweek. So actually, we might get very few blanks. We might get very few double. Like, it's so difficult to know exactly. Until the Premier League make an announcement, it's difficult to know what 34 is going to look like. But what I do know is that this week, with just four fixtures, is way, way more difficult to manage than that one. So yes, I might be able to free hit players in who've got a double then. But the reality is that if I wildcard just before it, I'm going to be able to get those pairs on wildcard anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm going to know what that looks like.
Yeah.
So I can, I think for me, this strategy with the wildcard just before 34 allows me to get all three of my remaining chips to line up with the three difficult game weeks to manage in terms of the doubles and the blanks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the fact people are doing different strategies. I like people trying to navigate
too.
It. I like that Andy North is trying to get a wildcarding. I like that we're probably playing the free hit. I like that people are going in three very different routes.
Yeah.
I just like the idea that we're going to get certain points from the free hit. And like you say, there's going to be people scrambling around minus eights, minus 12s, just to be bringing in the players that we're going to have. Yeah. For
because
for
those five that we've named, you don't have them. They're your minuses. They're the ones you're going to be worrying about. They're the ones you're going to be going, right, I need a minus four for Bowen. I need a minus eight for Sun. And the reality is that in my head, what I'm also thinking is the players that I'd have to take out to minus these players in are players that I want back again.
Absolutely.
So if I can do this in a free hit, I'm then not having to take more minuses for 30, 31 because I want to hold the wild card for 33.
Yeah. It's actually one of the big reasons why, again, I'm going to be free hitting in 29, because if I was going to take out, you know, players for the likes of Madison, for Bowen, when I then come to wildcard, my team value is crap anyway.
Yeah.
So when it comes to wildcarding them back in, I'm going to be losing 0.2, 0.3 million. Mm. I can't afford to do that. It'll have such a knockdown effect on the rest of my team.
Yeah.
If I take all these players out, plus the hits, plus everything else. So
plus, yeah. I think if you look at, and you know, from Spurs' perspective, we have to think about Salah in all of this conversation, because at the moment this is something none of us are really talking about, because we're all focusing in on the blanks and the doubles, and Salah isn't really part of that conversation because the game's against Man City and then it's the blank. But coming out of the blank, we do need a plan for Salah, and he obviously costs a lot more budget. If you bring in Son on a free transfer, the likelihood is you're going to have to take him back out again straight afterwards, which is fine. But if you're hitting him in for next week, only to then hit him back out for Salah the week after, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Plus, if you're bringing him in permanently with a view to keeping him, well, that's fine, except Richarlison's 2 weeks away from being fit, apparently. So if he comes back in 2 weeks, Son's going back out, why is Son really the option you want? Maybe not. So for me right now, wildcarding the Spurs assets in is the better... Sorry, free-hitting them in 29 is the better option, because coming out of that into 30, I can then make a better decision about this.
Yeah, like Tim W said, there are known unknowns and unknown knowns.
Yeah.
That's right. All you can do is kind of play what's in front of you. And sometimes it, using the information we've got, that strategy works. I can completely understand why people are doing other ones, but I think in opposite... If a few weeks ago I'd made a decision to bring in like Bowen and bring in... I don't know, other players that, you know, an Aston Villa mid, for example, as well, then you're in a very different position. But yeah, I'm not. And a good point about Salah. Tom Johnson says, as versus Sam, Spurs versus Brighton, play Porro or a Stupinan. Don't play a Stupinan. That's all I'm going to say on that.
I mean, I was confident last time Spurs played Brighton and it went so badly for us. I would like your opinion on Brighton, because I have got Gross currently as my first sub on my bench this week. I don't know what to do with him because it's a nice fixture. It's a home fixture. But I watched you guys yesterday. I watched the highlights of your game last weekend and he got benched, which I think was ahead of because of this game in midweek. But now I'm just like, what even is happening with the Seagulls at the moment?
We're done is the answer to that. I think there's too many players out of form. Billy Gilmore, Estupinan, Ferguson. There's too many players injured. João Pedro, Mitoma. De Zerbi's losing it, like literally losing his mind. He's going absolutely nuts on the touchline. He's already started the things, you know, some mumblings around not happy with the recruitment, not replacing Caicedo and McAllister, which is fair enough. But yeah, this is not the time to be playing or buying Brighton players, for sure. We've got real issues. And I think Forest are going to beat us.
Yeah.
I think they're a decent side. I think we're going to lose.
And that's part of the reason why... I mean, I sold a Stupinan last week and or the week before, I can't remember now, one or the other, I sold a Stupinan at some point. And I'm going to bench Gross this week with a view that I'm going to sell. I might even sell him this week. Like there is part of me that's like, well, I might as well just sell him as well and have two extra assets for this week. But then he's been a great differential for me over the last few weeks. So it is a bit painful benching him because it's on paper, it's a really nice fixture. I just think that the form, and I don't know how you're going to recover from Thursday night. Like, how are you going to come out of that in terms of what does this weekend look like? Are you, where are you? Like, it's so hard to know with Brighton, and the form is just not there. So that's why he's on my bench, but it doesn't feel great.
The fact he's even getting rested in league games, I think shows where De Zerbi's, well, where his priority was that Roma game. Now that's done. I just don't know what he does for the rest of the season, because there isn't a settled team. And Ciso isn't ready to be playing. He looked completely off it yesterday. Does Lallana come back in? Buonanotte is not really delivered, I don't think. I don't know. I think it's an easy benching for Porro with that one, personally, because Porro is being given the all clear, right? And like you've said before, Postecoglou doesn't say that unless they're ready to come back in.
No, Postecoglou, if they're fit, if he's trained, he plays. They don't even rejoin the squad until they're actually ready to play. So the fact that he's trained today means he's ready. Now, I think given the way that our team is and how important Porro is to the way that Spurs attack, he'll be straight back in the starting 11 on Sunday. It's not a Saturday game either. He's got another day. So I think he'll be straight back in the starting 11 for Villa on Saturday. And, you know, they play a high line as well, which could do really well with Porro. So I think if you've got him, he's got the potential for some attacking returns in this one.
Yep. Bobby Whitby says, I can smell a Salah hat-trick against Brighton. Yeah, I think in game week 30, that's when we need to be looking at ways to kind of move towards him. He says, I love that people thought Brighton could win 3-0. What a joke. We definitely did not think we were going to win that game 3-0. I went for a score draw more in hope than anything else. No way were we ever going to go to Roma and win 3-0. No Brighton fan in their right mind would have predicted that. I didn't think we'd lose 4-0. But I definitely didn't think we'd win 3-0.
For me, it was more the performance that I was surprised at. It wasn't really the result necessarily, although I didn't think you'd get beaten that badly, but it was the way that you got beaten and how you played that really surprised me.
Because it was the way we were set up. He set us up to counter-attack, and we don't do that. We've gone up against Man City and dominated the game in terms of possession. I think he gave them too much respect.
And that does happen sometimes, right? And of course, we've got the second leg of all of these fixtures next week. And obviously, that's a home game for Brighton. But you're 4-0 down, so you're going to have to really go for it in that one if there's any chance of turning it around.
Oh, God, we're going to lose about 9-0 on aggregate, I reckon.
Well, you're going to have to go for it, aren't you? So, and like you say, it was clear from the benching of Gross last week that that's where De Zerbi's priorities were. So you would expect him to try and prioritise this again. And I think that's the other thing, isn't it? That you just have to kind of wait it out and see what happens. But yeah, for me, Brighton are difficult at the moment.
Yeah. Twisted Sparky. I'm a Brighton fan. I hope for a 1-1. That's exactly what I said as well. Super chat from Sam Bonfield Stan. thoughts on Son and Zabani for KDB and Senesi?
Yeah.
Seems pretty good, doesn't it? KDB away at Liverpool, Senesi injured.
Yeah, Son playing next week. So if you're playing through it, it's a good option. I like it. I think, and the other thing is, like, so I'm a KDB owner and I don't want to be long term. And that's nothing about KDB because I love him and I think he's brilliant. However, I obviously want Salah back in. So I need to lose an expensive asset. And you can just have Foden instead and save the budget. You know, you don't need to spend the budget on KDB. You can have Foden to cover out that Man City midfield. So, and actually Foden, I think, will outscore De Bruyne in that period anyway. So I don't think it's a downgrade. If anything, it feels like an upgrade there anyway. So I would do this.
Yeah. So
I'd even do a hit for this.
Yeah, so would I. I like it. I think it's two just good moves. I can't see that not paying off. And unless KDB goes mad, then that's going to pay off pretty quickly. A few questions on Bowen. Madassar Hussein says, would you do Foden out for Bowen? Tom Doherty says, given what Sam has just said, would you transfer Gross out for Bowen if you were not on a free hit 29, even for a minus four? Bowen for me is the midfielder I'd be targeting. If I wasn't free hitting in 29, he would be, of all of them, he'd be the one that I'd be getting. Would I be taking Foden out for him though? Gross, yes. Foden, I don't think I would.
I wouldn't sell Foden, no. I think you want Foden straight back in 30, so I would just keep him. And I also think he could do well against Liverpool. We mentioned the stats at the beginning. He's got a good record at Anfield. He's in brilliant form. He's not going to get benched because Pep thinks he's the best thing in the Premier League right now. So I wouldn't sell Foden. This week, my plans have been to get Bowen. That's been my plan. So I haven't done anything because I wanted to make sure that last night Bowen didn't get injured or have any issues, because I do want to have him more of a long-term hold, particularly now Kudos and Pacatara back because I think he just looks so much better. And watched West Ham last night and thought actually they were unlucky not to return. Bowen had an absolute sitter, didn't he, in the first half? And I was like, how's that not gone in? But anyway, so my dilemma is, who do I sell for him? So I could sell KDB for him, just keep the money in the bank for Salah from in 30. That feels like a nice option. I could sell Neto for him. That was the original plan if he was ruled out. However, Neto's been ruled in for this weekend. So then it comes down to a choice between KDB and Gross. And I'd rather keep Neto than I would Gross.
Yeah.
So I've got to decide what where my priorities are. Are my priorities to get rid of my Brighton asset? Or do I want to free up some budget now so that I can do Salah? Or do I just, you know, hold a little bit so that I can... I mean, I think whatever happens, Salah and Foden are going to come in for me in 30.
Mm.
So, but I absolutely would do Gross to Bowen if he were not free hitting for a minus four. Because one, I mean, Bowen's got Burnley this weekend at home.
And I'm really worried about not having Bowen.
I'm going to have it. That's my transfer this week. Yeah. I've just got to decide who's getting sold. Is it KDB or is it Gross? I think it's going to be Gross that I sell now that Neto's fit again.
Mm.
That's going to be one of my transfers this week. And I do a hit on it.
Really like that move. I'm
going to try and get my green arrow to
That's the benefit of having KDB, Gross and Neto. You could sell any of them for Bowen.
All of them can be sold.
Henning, a 59 krona super chat. No question. Not sure if that's deliberate. Henning, if you do have a question, drop it in below and we'll answer it as well. We've got Kieran saying Morris for Haaland. I think we answered that earlier. I think we said yes, didn't we? If you're not free hitting.
Yeah, 29, yes. Yep.
Adam Stevo says, are Zabania or Kerkez in for Senesi?
It's the long-term, short-term thing.
Yeah, that's my dilemma this week. I think I'm almost 100% going to be wildcarding in 30 anyway because I want to get Salah in for Brighton at home, ironically. So I think I can have a bit of fun and take a bit of a punt on Kerkez.
Whereas I'm going to go the other way, I think.
Yeah, and then Zabani's going to score and I'm going to be devastated.
I hope so.
Yeah, God, can you imagine? If he scores, he's going to go down as like... you know, FPL royalty, isn't he?
If he scores, absolute legend. I'm sending you a picture of him in WhatsApp. You're going to just get a picture of him from me. You'll know as soon as it pops up in WhatsApp with just a photo, it'll just say photo, won't it? And you'll be like, oh no, I know what that is.
Well, if Kerkez scores, he's going on the wall. There you go. Saying it right now.
Yeah, adding one to the wall. Brilliant.
Another name, Badgers Get a Bad Name, is swapping KDB for Kluivert. That's a move you wouldn't have thought you'd be saying a bit earlier on, but I see the logic to it.
Yeah, I do. And you know, when you sort the fixture, if you take out game week 29 because it's a weird blank and just remove it from the fixture ticker altogether, Bournemouth are really high on the fixture ticker. They're top, so getting some Bournemouth extra players in does make sense, particularly if it then enables you to keep all that money to get Salah from game week 30 as well. Like, that's the other thing, is that it feels really weird. But if you're going to have to sell KDB anyway to afford Salah, this is kind of where my head goes. Well, at some point, I've got to sell KDB anyway because I've got to bring Salah back in. So why not do it for a player that's going to play twice against two of the worst defences in the league? The worst and the third worst defence in the league.
Yep, I agree. Tim WD says only four City players are nailed: Edison, Diaz, Rodri and Haaland. Foden started more games than Diaz this season.
Foden's nailed at the moment. The way that Pep speaks about him at the moment, there's no...
Why would he drop him? He's the best player.
He's come out and said he's the best player in the Premier League this week.
He is.
If he drops him now, then that is the biggest trolling I've ever seen by Pep. And I've seen a lot of trolling by Pep. That would be the biggest.
I think the key thing with Foden is he's now doing what Pep wants. And I think he's been guilty in the past of maybe losing possession a bit more. The ball stuck to his feet these days. He doesn't lose it. He's so clever in the way he holds the ball and drives and plays other players in. He's Pep's absolute like go-to now. I never thought it would happen. I always hoped it would happen, but he's on a different level.
He's the first name on Pep's team sheet now, above those four.
He is. Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. TSH says Van Dijk, Hwang and Haaland to Zabani, Bowen and Solanke for a minus eight. Not using the free hit and need the money for Salah. I mean, I like those moves. I think
I like it. The only thing
selling Haaland for minus eight as part of a minus eight is,
the only thing I would say is that if you're not using the free hit and you haven't got a wild card, and you're keeping that money for Salah, what is your plan for Haaland? Because you're going to also want Haaland back in.
Mm.
Like, I don't think you can make Haaland the cash machine for Salah, because surely you want them both. If you're saying you're not going to have Haaland at all and you know that that's the case, then fair enough. You go in with your eyes wide open. But if you're taking money out of Haaland for Salah without a plan for Haaland back and you want Haaland back, that feels risky and a bit dangerous.
Yeah. Also, you're bringing in Zabani and Solanke, who neither have a game in 29. Yeah. So if you're not free hitting, you need to make sure you've got enough players. Because if you're taking a minus eight to bring in those two, and then you're going into 29 with three or four players, and you have to take another minus eight to bring in other players, it might be worth going for Morris, for example.
Exactly. Be better with Morris and Doughty than these guys. Although I think these two are better options. I think if you've not got a free hit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yep. My homie says, felt for you in the FPL pod, Jules is having a great season. Oh my God, he is, isn't he? Was that 5K or something?
No, he's at 1.7K.
Oh my Lord.
And doesn't he tell me about it every single day?
That is outrageous. That is absolutely... What's his best ever finish before...
96K.
Wow.
And that was in the 2019-20 season. He is just having... Do you know when sometimes... you just have one of those seasons and you can't explain it, but everything you do goes golden. It's like that with him at the moment. And he's hilarious because I'll say things like, oh, I'm going to get Rodri for the double. Don't do it. He does it. And then it brings him a load of... And then he'll text me just to wind me up. Like, I'll get a WhatsApp from him and it'll just be like, thanks for that tip. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to kill you. To be fair... I was dreading the pod in studio on Wednesday because Ian went above me by 2 points and Jules is just having a smashing season and Jules loves to wind me up. I think it's like his hobby or something. It's just to annoy me. But
he's never been able to in the past because you've always been thrashing him.
But he was actually much nicer to me than I thought he was going to be. I got a bit of stick, but nowhere near as much as I thought I was going to get. By the end of it, I was like, that could have been a hell of a lot worse than it was. Mm. But he is having in some ways, like I was saying to Ian when we were walking back to the train station after the pod, I was like, in some ways, Jules was behind us on the phone. And I was like, in some ways, I hope he continues to do this because he could, if he carries on like this, he's like 120 points away from being world number one, which, you know, when you consider it's not a huge amount of points. If his chip strategy goes well, he could gain some of that. Like if he finishes inside the top 1k, that would be phenomenal. It would be a phenomenal thing. But then the other part of me is like, he'll never shut up about it. If he gets a 3-digit finish, I'll never hear the end of it.
I have friends like that where I'm like, I really like that you're taking this seriously and I really like that you're, you know, doing well, but not too well. There's a line.
Yeah. I love that he's taking it seriously, but he's not taking it that seriously. Like, he came with a piece of paper that he'd ripped out of a notebook, which just had some scribbles on it in pencil. And I was like, what's that? He's like, it's my long-term planning. I'm like, are you joking? It's not long-term planning. That's a list of 4 players that you've got in game week 29 and you haven't got a free hit. So that's not long-term planning, is it? And then when I'm talking about this stuff on the pod, I can see him like watching me intently as to what I'm saying. But he's funny. He makes me laugh, but he drives me insane.
Yeah. It makes for good listening though, to be fair.
No, it does.
That's the worst bit, isn't it?
That's the worst bit.
JK Gunner says, I'm at 8K. Do you think it's possible to win FPL at this point? Yeah, why not?
Look, anything can happen. Yeah. You know, so when you think Ian, like I think Ian's a prime example of this stuff, right? So he joined the pod in late October, the last pod we did in October. And at that point, he was at 3.4 million. He's now at 200K. Mm. So if you can make the right decisions, it's harder when you're at 8K because a lot of the teams are similar. So finding the right differential, you've got to get it bang on because the differentials there's got to be some elements of risk taken, but there's nothing that could stop you doing it. As long as the choices that you're making and you get your chip strategy right, then it's possible. It's not likely from 8K at this point, but it's possible.
You'd have to gamble. You'd have to go against Saka and Haaland probably, and you know, and try and make it up elsewhere because you'd need the most popular players to blank and for your players to come in to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying do that. don't get me wrong. Don't ruin your season over it.
There's risk reward, right?
If your only aim at 8K is to win the whole game, then I think you have to push.
Yeah, I agree.
And go for it. So yeah, good luck if you do decide to do that. We'll take one more question, and then I'm going to head off. I'm down to Brentwood. tonight to see my parents, get back for Mother's Day. I'm sure you're going to get spoiled on Sunday.
I hope so. Right? Lee, are you still listening?
Yeah. Hey, it's not his job, it's the kids' job, isn't it? But
look, when they're 10 old and enough 8, now. No, when they're 10 and 8, he has got to manage it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. We'll take Glyn Parry's question for our final one. How many double game week players do you think is a minimum for 28? We discussed the blank players in 29. How many would you want to get for 28?
Three.
Yeah. And who would they be? Solanke, Doty.
And a Bournemouth defender.
And then a Bournemouth defender. Yeah, I think I agree.
I think if you get Morris as well, because you've got a Darwin that you could sell, then fine. But I think three is enough.
Yeah.
Two Bournemouth, one Luton.
Yep. I agree with that. Perfect. Cool. Right, everyone. Thank you so much. Sam, good to have you back. We'll be back again next week, I imagine. You any more holidays?
I'm not planning to go away anymore.
Good. So yeah, we'll do another one next week. But yeah, thanks everyone for watching, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye, everybody.